Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, you probably don't know this. I was invited to do or asked to do the first three seasons of Dancing with the Stars. I'll never forget when they first asked me. I was shocked because, you know, you're thinking, there's no way I'm going to do this. I think that's when Jerry Rice did it, right? My daughter, Sydney, at the time was, I think, 13 years old.
Yeah.
I think she was 13 years old. She goes, Dad, you're not doing it.
Really?
Yeah, because she was more thinking that I would embarrass her in her life. And she goes, you know what? You're not doing it. So I was just telling the story how I was invited the first 3 years of Dancing with the Stars, and I know you obviously came in second, David Ross, but the fact of the matter is my daughter would not let me do it.
Hey, if my daughter would have been old enough and known the embarrassment that she was going to go through, I don't know if she'd have let me do it either.
But you did say, well, man. You did really well.
Thank you. It was a lot of smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of camera tricks. You know, you get out there, and it's one of the most frightening things I've ever been a part of, and I've been a part of some crazy scenes, but 12, 15 million people going out there and dancing, which is not my, you know, I tell everybody my idea of dancing was like back grinding up on my wife when I was in high school, you know, it's like, that was my idea of ballroom dancing,
well,
I guess.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, you know, you have a great story. You're part of the Cubs, the World Series, you know, your teammates love you. You're getting a lot of airtime and all that other stuff. How do they know that you would be good for that show? How do they find that out?
You know, Dina Katz kind of gets the talent, and she called me, and I actually turned it down the first couple of times. I was like, I appreciate it, but that's not for me. And Jerry Rice, the guy who wrote my book, knew Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice said it was one of the greatest things he's ever done.
Right.
And I started doing some research about how many ex-athletes had so much fun on the show, and I'm like, you know what? I'll probably be voted off in a couple weeks. I'll give it a shot. My wife actually pushed me. She was like, do something outside your...
That,
yeah,
really?
She was into it.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, and at the end of my career, I kind of appreciated things a lot more and tried to do things outside of my box a lot more in my last season. I had the greatest year of my life.
Right.
And so this was along those lines of do something outside your box. I'm always pushing to my kids that it's okay to try something that you're not good at and give your best. And,
but and so,
I don't know that I knew what I was signing up for, but if you don't follow the show, you don't realize how big of a market and audience they have. And it's been a life changing thing, and you learn a lot about yourself and the frustrations you go through on that journey. It's intense.
Now, your wife liked the idea at first, but then when she sees your dance partner, she starts freaking out into that.
Well, the good thing is I had a 23-year-old, the most amazing girl, Lindsay Arnold. It was absolutely phenomenal, and she was so great. I tell her, everybody thinks, is there drama there? I'm like, there's zero drama. We've got nothing in common other than she's a great person. I tell people all the time, her favorite movie is like Lego Batman. So that's how young she is, you know.
Right,
so it was like having another family member, like having a daughter. And that's really,
yeah, sure it was.
You felt that, you feel that connection because you're with them all the time.
And I guess they also tell you, because I remember when I was asked, they said, look, you could just practice as much as you want. Your partner will come to you, or
yep,
you'll go to the partner, and you could do as much as you want or as little as you want. So how much did you do?
That was my hardest part. I did every day. I needed every day, every minute. But she actually, the hardest part was traveling. So I live in Tallahassee, Florida, North Florida, and we would travel back and forth from L.A. every week. I'd get on the red eye. My kids, the reason why I retired, to spend more time with my family.
Right.
And I didn't want to be a hypocrite right away, right out of the chute. I'm like, what do you mean? You're dancing and in L.A. and staying in L.A. for 3 months. So she was great. Her and a cameraman who was an amazing guy, Brian, huge San Francisco fan, would travel back and forth. And I'd take a red eye right after the show at 11 o'clock and get in, go have lunch with the kids, take them to all their practices and games. And then I would rehearse. They would fly in Tuesday day, and we would rehearse from about 8 to midnight and do it all over again.
David Ross, former Cub, former Red, former Dodger. I'm going to hit you with somebody. You probably don't know the name, but I know Greg does. You're like the Michael Beasley of baseball. Michael Beasley just signed with the New York Knicks. He's a basketball player and played at 6 different high schools and like 9 different NBA teams. So
really?
I mean, well, that's me. I'm trying to think, why did you move around so much?
Well, I tell everybody it was clubhouse cancer, but it was
sure,
but 2 years. Like 2 years, I wore out my welcome, but. You know what? I as a journeyman. I just couple different places, and it took me a while to find my skill set, how to be a backup, and are you a starter, are you a backup, and finally settling in that role in Atlanta. I was there for 4 years, and after starting for a little bit and kind of, you know, thinking, who am I? You know, I had a really good year in Cincinnati and then had a terrible year the next year, and I backed up Brian McCann and realized that was my home, and then started bouncing around, going to Boston after that, and then Chicago. So it actually, I think a lot of people set out to have a great career like yourself and be it with one team, and or like a Chipper Jones that the first round pick, and you know, be that guy. And yeah. I look back on my career and I'm so thankful for all the different managers I played for,
you,
and teammates
you
I ran
15 to. Years.
Yeah. Crazy.
15 years, and it goes fast, I know. And then all of a sudden, your final year, you find yourself in the middle of what really is history.
Right.
And you know, so you're with the Cubs, you're with Joe Maddon. I say they clinched the other night, and you know he's dumping the champagne on himself and everything else. Give me a little 411 on exactly what he is like as a manager and as a person.
Exactly what you see. He's very non-drama, very, you know, very chill. He would text back and forth, you know, tell you, he would tell me the night before, hey, you got it tomorrow. And I'd be like, thanks. And he would always text back, groovy. You know, who texts that? I don't know. But
Phil Jackson.
Yeah, right.
Probably like right out of the Jackson school.
He's at home drinking wine. Very, very simple in his thoughts and his coaching methods. I tell a lot of people, and not everybody knows him, but Bobby Cox, I got a chance to play for Bobby Cox, probably the best manager I ever played for. And him and Joe Maddon are very similar in their ways. And everybody's like, really? Like Joe Maddon? I mean, Bobby Cox seems so old school and Joe Maddon seems so new school. But Joe taught the basics of baseball and the fundamentals and the simplicity of the game. And yeah, he just used some numbers and some analytics to maybe do some things differently, make some different moves, but and go outside of his box a little more. But they're very similar in their way of coaching and teaching and very lets the clubhouse run itself, very, hey, you be you, which really opens up a lot of young guys for success and not all the, you know, when you come in, you got to do it this way and got to do it that way. And we're going to hit all day and we'll take extra ground balls. So my job's safe. And the front office sees me working these guys hard. And no,
there's
it's like
politics.
No,
there.
There's none. Right. None. And players see that. And as soon as you see like, hey, this guy just wants what's best for everybody, and that's what the message is sent. And so everybody comes on board really fast.
Talking to David Ross on the Fan, did you get tired of that old man narrative in your last year? Because every time you came up, it was, here comes 80-year-old David Ross. How can he still walk? It's amazing. Look at him.
You know what? I didn't. You know why? Because I just wanted that pitcher to take me lightly. That way I'd throw it right down the middle. Yeah, let me take this guy lightly. And the guy, my teammates had a blast with it. It was fun. I still get, some guy yelled at me yesterday. I got done at I did the Texas Ranger game yesterday, and some guy, I'm loading up. Some guy's like, Grandpa! Across the parking lot. It makes me laugh. You know, I'm cool with it. Whatever. You think, you know, the fact that they know my name is cool to me. People buy my jersey in Chicago, which blows my mind. I'm a career 220 hitter and a backup catcher, and people love me there. So it's a really credit to my teammates and what they've said about me and the nice things of putting my name out there. So I love every second of it. I haven't had a whole lot of, you know, quote-unquote fame, but this is as big as I've ever been. And I try to take it in because I know it won't last forever.
You know, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. But before we get to that, you're here with Scotts and the MLB. They're going to launch a national grant program, Blue Ribbon Panel, to select youth baseball and softball fields for renovation, which is something that's important in your world.
So excited and so happy to be partnering with Scotts and the field refurbishment program. It's you know, when you go around now that I my son's starting to play baseball and my nephew plays, I get to go to the games, the Little League fields can be just awful. And the batter's box has got a 4-foot hole in there, and my nephew's really short. So Scotts is going around. They're doing a grant program and going to spend close to $50,000 and choosing five teams, each one getting 50 grand to refurbish their Little League field in the community. And I think it's going to grow baseball in that area. And you can get grass, you can get the batter's box, fencing. You know, I mean, this is
the whole thing.
And when you're a little leaguer and you get to play on a grass field and it's manicured and you feel like you're in the big leagues, and that may be the only shot that you get. Some of these fields don't have fences. I was on a show earlier and they're like, I didn't even have a fence in center in outfield. Yeah. And I'm like, first home run, you had to run all the way around the bases. Yes. I'd have never hit one.
So it was at East Islip too, by the way.
Yeah,
Not anymore.
Not anymore, it's not. But let me ask this question. How do people sign up for that, or how can they apply for this?
MLB.com/ScottsFields and put in your application. We need everybody to apply. I'm going to be on a panel, gets to choose the five.
Right.
Send me the reason why your field needs refurbishment, what it needs. And I'm looking forward to looking through these and
send some pictures.
Yeah, send some pics. Send it all. We're looking for the who needs the most work. Who can use the best field?
What you're saying is tear up your field, make it look terrible, and then send some pictures. Right?
Don't have like a shovel at second base in the background. You know, like we just dug a big hole at second.
So when you see you win the World Series and everything else, you retire, and then you watch the Cubs come out of the gate slow, and it seemed like they were just kind of going through the motions.
They're
missing you, of course. But after the All-Star break, they really kicked it into gear. Is that something that you would have expected, or were you a little shocked that they came out as slow as they did?
I didn't know. I was worried. I'd been a part of the 13 Red Sox, and 14 it did not go well, and some changes. But I think Joe did a great job of pacing them. I went to spring training. I remember going the first day of spring training thinking, my gosh, these dudes have already been hitting for weeks and months, and I couldn't imagine picking up a bat or a ball at that time, and they're getting ready for another season and a career, and so I was so happy I was done at that time. But there's a serious hangover effect, and I think it has to do with your body. I think it has to do with how much training you can do in the off season. I think it has to do with the environment. Like playing a regular season Wednesday game, you just got out of Game 7 of the World Series, packed house, and the emotions are high for over a month, you know, from now, basically mid-September all the way through November 2nd. So you're playing the most intense environment you can possibly play in. So the fact to get your body and your mind ready, I think it may be more mental than physical, but the hangover's real, and it's hard to get locked in. And you see, not one of those guys, though the greatest thing, not one of those guys made the All-Star team, and everybody's like, I can't believe that after all the guys they had last year. And they all come back, and they've had the second-best record since the All-Star break. They're number one in offense in the National League.
22 over 500 since the All-Star break.
There you go.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. And I think that refreshment of the All-Star break and turning your mind off and getting back to business when you get back is a credit to how Joe didn't push them early on. He talks a lot about pushing in Anaheim after they won the World Series, and in Tampa Bay after they lost the World Series the next year, pushing the players, pushing them. He said that's the wrong way to do it. I'm not going to push these guys.
He's doing the right thing. David Ross joins us for
he's got an entourage.
Minutes. Yes, David. He does.
Do you ever think you'd have an entourage?
I don't even know. Yeah,
one,
I just got
two, three,
he's
four,
abort-
five.
I got in a Uber or a SUV out of my hotel, and I got 37. There's like three ladies, a guy meets me at the door, and my agent. We're all just here, all right, this is cool.
Good
thing I don't have to pay any of them.
I was going to say, you know more now for Dancing with the Stars or your Cubs World Series?
Dancing with the Stars, no doubt. I'm serious. I walk through the airport, and I literally have the like 60 to 75-year-old lady market locked down. My wife gives me crap all the time. They're all hugging on me. They come in, they're like, I know you from somewhere. I'm like, well, you used to play baseball, and they're like, no, that's not it. And so I never say Dance with the Stars, and they'll come up and be like, you're on Dancing with the Stars, aren't you? And they're like, oh, honey. They're really aggressive.
Yeah,
actually.
I can imagine why they want to get their hands on you.
Yeah, so we want to feel these love handles.
Well, Greg might want to get his hands on you, too. So let me ask you this question. Were you more nervous going into Game 7 versus the Indians, which was one of the great games, truly dramatic moments and dramatic games, considering the two organizations, the Indians and the Cubs, it's Game 7, or opening night on Dancing with the Stars?
Opening night on Dancing with the Stars every day of the week. That series took a couple of years off my life for sure, and Game 7, no doubt, took a couple of years off my life. But I had a lot of emotions going to Game 7, end of my career, last game I'd ever play, really wanted to win, you know, a lot. The dancing thing, I was just like, just don't fall on your face. Just do not trip.
You actually took yourself out of your proverbial box you were talking about.
Yeah, it's you're so scared, and we went a little bit later in the show, and the anxiety builds, and you're out there, and I've been practicing for 3-4 weeks, and for that before that first dance, and you get out there and you're like, I don't even remember what foot goes first. You know, do we start right foot or left foot?
That's crazy.
And it is the probably the most adrenaline rush when you're done and finish that. Everybody's like, you're having so much fun. I was like, I was so happy I was done and didn't fall.
Let me ask you a question. I'm thinking that your phone had to blow up right after that performance hit. I'm sure all your teammates must have been watching.
They sent me a video. I still hadn't posted. I should have posted it on social media, but they sent me a video. They had that Monday off, and they were in St. Louis, and they all went to a steak dinner and had a TV. And so they videoed awesome. The whole thing, and they went crazy. They were laughing throughout it. Like, I can't believe he's doing it. And then they went nuts at the end, and big clapping and laughing. And I was super – the coolest thing for me since I've been done is that you don't know how you're going to be perceived by your peers, right? This guy went out. He's a backup catcher, not really a big name like an A-Rod or a Jeter or somebody. And he goes out and represents Major League Baseball in a dance competition. And the feedback I've gotten from other players, ex-teammates, guys around the league has been overwhelmingly awesome. And how they watch with their wives, their son, Chris Sale's son would score me. He would sit out would score me every week. And he told me that story at the All-Star game. And I was like, the coolest thing I've ever heard. So super, super thankful for all the support that everybody's given me. And, I was scared.
The great thing is for you, David, you're a great ambassador of the sport.
Thank you.
Your teammates loved you. You had a great story around the Cubs and the World Series, and it was out there being told. And then next thing you know, you're in Dancing with the Stars. Right.
What's next? The Voice? You want to spin the chair?
That's what everybody said. I like music a lot, but there's no singing coming out of here.
I want to ask you about the Yankees before you go. No one really expected them to be this good. A lot of young players, and everybody was excited. But, I mean, this is a playoff team. This is a potential World Series team.
Oh. No doubt.
How far do you think that this group, these young players, can go in 2017?
I don't look at that group as a young group, and I know they are, but when you watch the poise and when you play in this market, the one thing I know about playing in Boston and Chicago, and especially Boston, when you play in the big market, expectations don't matter about your age. Everybody expects that team to play well and play up to the level that is Yankee baseball. Mm-hmm. And they're never intimidated because they play in one of the toughest leagues in all of baseball, and they're in this market. So intimidation's not a factor. And they play on the big TV games, and every game's intense, and the expectations. But I think they're no doubt World Series contenders, and I think they're one of the they're probably eight teams, I would say, that could win the World Series. When I sit down and think about it and look on paper, I think there's eight legitimate World Series contenders, and I think Cleveland's the best team right now. And if anybody can beat Cleveland, in my opinion, it's probably the New York Yankees in a 5-game series. I don't see anybody beating Cleveland 4 games. I just don't see it. But if anybody can do it, it's New York Yankees. That bullpen is so deep. Their starting pitcher, Severino, is an animal. That starting pitching, if they do have a bump in the road, that could be it. But that bullpen, I mean, I feel like you could go to Greeny in the third or fourth, really, and just stretch out that bullpen.
You know, it's amazing. We were watching, going through Aroldis Chapman's year this year. It's been up and down, inconsistent. But as of late, all of a sudden, I noticed a different person on the mound. It was almost like he was going through the motions because he was coming off of the World Series hangover.
I think you're right. And it's no surprise, if you really look back, it shouldn't be a shock to anybody. The two best teams in the second half are the teams in the World Series last year.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. So they had that little bit of hangover earlier. Get some guys healthy. Get that intensity back. Get how we play as a group. Got a couple new pieces. Let's fit all that together. And then you hit your stride in the second half. And Cleveland has been obviously the best team, and the Cubs are right there. Aroldis, same thing. It's hard to get back to that intensity. You need a break. You know, you played sport. Sure. You need that off season and your process of getting ready for a full season, especially in Major League Baseball when you play 162 or you go all the way to November 2nd. I mean, it's exhausting.
It was amazing. It was about 2 weeks ago, I think, and the Tampa Bay Rays and the Mets were playing in Citi Field because of the hurricane down there.
Right.
And I'm trying to think. I think it was Al Leiter was in the booth with Michael Kay, and they were talking about, you know, Aroldis Chapman and the problems that he was having. And then all of a sudden, in the eighth inning, he comes in, he gives up a run with a hit, and he gets out of the inning, walks a guy in the top of the ninth. And now all of a sudden, Joe Girardi gets Chasen Strieve and gets him up in the bullpen. You could see that Chapman's obviously sees this happening.
He's pissed.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, his whole demeanor changed on the mound that day, and Al pointed it out. It was unbelievable. And he has been that guy since that day, and it looks like the guy that pitched for the Cubs in the World Series now.
Well, and for me, Boomer, body language is everything.
Yes.
Body language is it just tells you. And I watched Aroldis a lot, and I did a couple Yankee games early on. And first of all, Aaron Judge is an absolute animal and one of my favorite people on the planet now. Like, I don't, anyways, Aroldis, I saw just a little bit of like unsure of like trying to find his stuff instead of the aggressiveness you're talking about and attacking the hitters. I'm just going to throw it middle, give you my best, and you do what you can with it. And I think that's when he's at his best, rather than trying to pitch. When you don't really want to air it out, you're trying to pitch. I talked to – when I catch John Lester, he would have days like, I'm gonna be a your crafty lefty today rather than the power guy. Mm-hmm. And that's not when he's at his best. And I think Aroldis is the same. I need your I saw 103, 104, I think, the other day.
Yes.
I mean, he was
He's right now. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
He's ready to go.
And
right
I think
now.
That whole team is, the way they've been playing – you know, I know the Boston has been keeping up, but and keeping that lead. But I think the Yankees have put that pressure on night in and night out, and not just in a 3-2 game. I mean, they're beating the crap out of.
You know what? They are. They're healthy. Their lineup is fully healthy. Their bullpen is fully healthy, and all their starters are healthy. Everybody on the team right now
perfect
is
timing.
Healthy, and it's the perfect timing.
Well, Jacoby, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one more time before we let you go. If you got a field that needs some work. And you and Scotts can help. How do they do that?
MLB.com/Scottsfield. Put in your application. I want all of America to put these things in here. We want to do what's best for the areas that need it the most. And Scotts and MLB are on board, and I'm on board, and I'm super excited. It's going to grow our game and our community and our family. It's going to bring more people to baseball. I'm excited.
I can see why people like them. I can talk baseball with you.
I would love that.
Where are you going?
So much,
can't
man,
be more important than this. Where are you going?
I'll stay here
can
all day.
Can he stay? Who can I? Who's in charge of the 50 agent?
I don't know.
Who's in charge?
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
I was telling Greg over here, you know, before we get into his dancing, that baseball really right now, when you think about it, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Indians, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Nationals, just those six teams alone are the most popular teams, and everybody expected, maybe not the Yankees, expected everybody else to get into the playoffs, and they're there. They're here. This is like a great year for baseball.
A great year for baseball, and the sleepers of the Diamondbacks, right? I think the Diamondbacks are sleeping, and what the Dodgers did, everybody's talking about the Cleveland run. I think they're 29-3.
It's ridiculous.
And what the Dodgers, what they went on in the middle of the year, I mean, that's unheard. I mean, it was like 50-9. I mean, just ridiculous numbers is what you're going through. And Aaron Boone said it on air last night and told, like, the parity at the top is so close. There's a big difference. Once you get to the 8th, 9th, 10th team, it's not even close. The bottom half of the league is.
If you could take any one of these pitchers right now, starting pitchers, you know, Kershaw, Kluber.
Kluber's the guy. I watched him be unhittable last year and just run out of gas. You know, that last start, they only had really three strong pitchers, and they were without Carrasco, and so to watch him, what he's been doing in the seventh. I mean, you could pitch a lot. You could pick a lot. Chris Sale's been really nice to his last outing. I watched him punch out 13 in Baltimore the other day. But Corey Kluber is just, it starts on the out around the plate. He's working, he's X-ing the outside part of the plate. He's throwing that front hip two-seamer to the lefties. He's got a back foot slider. His slider is the most unhittable pitch in the game. I mean, this guy is as nasty as it gets. And then their bullpen is ridiculous.
It's really good. Yeah. Around here, I was going to say, Greg, around here, the Yankees, Severino basically came out of nowhere. I think they saw his stuff. They saw how good he could be. But he really finally has figured how to pitch in the major leagues now.
I'll tell you a funny story. I'm watching baseball a lot more on TV, and I remember, you know, when you're playing baseball, you're not really in tune with the other guys on the team. And I watched a start of his early on in the year, and I think he punched out like six or seven guys. But I watched he had that fastball slider that you know about him, but he started using his changeup, and I was like, that's a nasty pitch. When you can see it on TV. And you don't have to face it. You're like, look at the depth of that pitch. And so I'm like, this guy's an animal. Who else? He's not even being talked about as their number one early on in the year.
He's their number one now.
No doubt. I mean, that guy, he may be, for me, he's coming to his own this year. When he has the mentality, and you can almost see it in his eyes, when he's got that intense mentality, it's over. It is over. When he's kind of just pitching out there, like we talked about a little bit earlier, I watch a lot of body language. And when he's focused and coming at you, He's one of the best in the game.
Talking to David Ross on The Fan. He's here on behalf of Scotts and Major League Baseball. I have to ask you about the other local in town, and not this season, but going forward, because you are someone that people still lean on after you've been out of the game with questions about on the field, off the field, front office. We were talking in the break how the front office will still lean on you. if one of the Wilpons calls you tomorrow and says, David, I want you to come and be the general manager of this baseball team to turn us around, what are you doing to make them be a contender again like they were in 2015?
I'm going to ask him to open up the checkbook.
Right,
yeah. Right. You know, I don't know. I feel like getting some guys healthy, obviously. I mean, you're looking at some issues there that are just, you know, I've never seen anything like what's happened to that team.
Why does it happen? I mean, is it just bad luck or they have some sort of issue
It would be irresponsible for me to comment on that, not being in that clubhouse and knowing the trainers and the medical staff there and how they train and the strength and conditioning coaches, all that stuff is being in there, I might be able to comment. But, from an outside perspective, I see them playing hard. I see, I would probably get another piece in the bullpen. I think, get some guys, just keep guys out of trouble, hold guys accountable. I mean, it seems like either a guy gets injured or just has some off-the-field issues that hurts the team. And I feel like you got to become more of a team atmosphere and a group of guys that are close and pull for one another. And when I saw Curtis Granderson and when they're healthy, you saw some of that. I mean, David Wright hurts. That kills you.
Well, they lost all their pitching, too. You know, they had good guys, too. They had Jay Bruce. They had Curtis Granderson.
Yeah,
they had
great
a bunch
guys.
Of good guys on the team. It just never happened. Cespedes is in and out of the lineup.
Right.
You know, he's another big cog. But let me ask you this. When Matt Harvey was at his best, to where he is right now. So a couple years ago in 2015, he's at his best. And where he is right now.
Is sad.
It is sad. Can he regain it, do you think?
And this is just my opinion. I wouldn't want to wait around and see. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. There's a lot of chances you've given that guy. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to give up on a guy with potential like that. And it's a business. I see that side of it. But we need to put the organization ahead of everything and winning first, right? And
seems
I need
like he
some accountability.
The wrong way,
no. I like. I actually really like him. Yeah. I've met him off the field, and he was a great guy. I just you read and see the fact of not showing up, and some of the little things that I've read and seen. And again, I'm not locked into the Mets, but just some of the off the field issues that I've seen. It just seems like he's more worried about himself and not being accountable to his teammates. And first and foremost, you need to be accountable to your teammates.
He's got thoracic outlet syndrome. He's got it comes off of Tommy John. And then he has a scapular problem. So now they put him out on the mound here the last month of the season. They want to see what he's got. Because you can't go anywhere else. There's nowhere else to rehab right now.
Right.
So you might as well throw him out there. And he's been, he's been doing it.
He's been all right.
He's at 95, 96. But I maybe because of the scapular injury, he can't control a slider. It looks like he's all over the place. His command of his pitches just is not right. So the question is, have you ever dealt with anybody who's ever had a scapula injury that is a pitcher that came back from that injury and regained his stuff?
I think Jake Peavy, I think his was more lat, but he had some stuff going on and some of thoracic nerve stuff. I've seen some guys come back from Wells a while back. I can't remember.
But it is.
So yeah, it's possible. Here's the scary part if you're a Mets fan is that if you do let him go and he goes somewhere else, he's going to be on a mission.
Yeah.
He's going to be on a mission. And he's a free agent after next year?
Well, they have to tender him. They have to tender him this year.
Right. No, I knew that. But
then it's a walkout, I think, next year.
Next year, yeah. So maybe he's got the motivation of the contract year and all that here. That's why it's nice to be able to talk about it, not actually have to write the check,
exactly,
right?
Yes.
So, I would hate to make the mistake in a guy like Matt Harvey with his potential and the wipeout slider that he had. I mean, I faced him in – I mean, one of the best teams that I've played in a long time, we faced them in 15, and they went on to World Series. They were loaded.
That's when our second baseman was considered a net negative at that time. That was Daniel Murphy who crushed you guys.
Wow. Wow. And I played against Murph a long time, and he was never that. He was like, he'll take his knock to left. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, just stay down away, or he'll get a hit up the middle, and pitch him away, play him away. Nope.
You could not. He was in his zone.
He was a monster. He climbed on the dish, and all of a sudden, his strength was always in. It was always dangerous in. From a catching perspective, and his power's in. So you always was safe, maybe throw him a back foot breaking ball to get him to chase in there. But when he climbed on the dish and started pulling everything.
And then they let him go, which was a great move, right?
Well, hindsight, no. But, yeah. He always had the defensive issues, I think. And I after that, you never know if it's a fluke, right? Like, okay, this guy's, is he really figured it out and he's totally changed? And usually you got a better idea if you're in that clubhouse and, or a guy's just locked in for the right time.
You watched him the last 2 years at the Nationals. Oh, he's figured it out.
He's the best hitter. He's the best hitter pure hitter, I would say, in the National League for me, just pure hitting. He is a foot down. It's so simple, so hard to pitch to. Breaking balls, I see him, you know, he's barreling everything, whether he hits it at somebody or not. But he's a phenomenal player, and he's made that Washington Nationals lineup
even crazier. You
can do
whatever you want now. You can. You could be in the front office. You could be a broadcaster. You could probably be a manager.
Can I just hang out with you guys?
Yeah.
You could come here every day if you like, yeah.
So if what is going to be the thing when you're ready that you're going to do next with your life with all these opportunities?
Well, you hit around the head. I think when I'm ready, my son's getting into playing flag football this year for the first time. My daughter's into volleyball and my son's baseball. It's you know, I don't know. I'm kind of. It's nice to be able to do some TV, to do some front office, to do, be a part of a couple different groups, to figure out what my heart's passionate about and what's fun for me and what gives me the most time with my family right now, and still make a little bit of money. You know, I didn't make some of these guys money.
Yeah,
that,
no,
I, you know,
neither did
that,
I either, David,
on
so
that
don't
level.
Worry about
so
it.
I just I like to. I it's nice to be able to have these opportunities and still be in the game of baseball in some capacity. I feel like. Really the luckiest man on the planet to have. A lot of people don't have these opportunities. So.
Plus, you got a World Series ring that says Cubs on it.
How about that? Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, the other thing, you will be doing ESPN's playoff stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna do. I'll be doing all the Baseball Tonight stuff from Bristol, and then we'll be at the World Series. We'll be at the Yankee game here, if the wild card game. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm really excited. Them and the Twins, if the Red Sox hold on for the division, I'm super pumped about that. So we'll be here for that. And I mean, it's my favorite time of year, and I'm just going to get to talk baseball. So
well, turn and show the camera your beautiful Scott shirt that you changed
because
you put a lot of effort here. Yeah, you started changing, so well, make everybody happy. Your whole entourage.
We want to be professional when you're an ambassador for somebody. You got to get their product and their name out there.
Well, they're doing good stuff, and so are you, David. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for staying in the segment too. That was great.
Yeah, it's tremendous. David Ross on behalf of Scott's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.